Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, good morning, church family. You may be seated. For the last 2 weeks, we have studied Psalm 1 and Psalm 23. Those are two of the most well-read psalms in the Bible. Psalm 1 encourages us to deepen our relationship with God, cultivating a lifestyle where God's word is at the forefront of our mind, our heart, our thoughts, our words, our actions. Then Psalm 23 gives us an imagery of God as a shepherd, providing care and guidance. Today, week 3, Psalm 51 offers a powerful example of genuine repentance. God's forgiveness is available and freely given to those who humbly seek Him, regardless of the severity of your sin. The more that we know about the author of this psalm, David, the better we're going to understand it. David is one of the most important people of the Old Testament. King David had a humble beginning as a shepherd boy. David is also known as a great warrior. David was a skilled musician. Then after King Saul and his son Jonathan died in battle, David became king of Israel, first over Judah, and then uniting all the tribes under his rule. Many of the Psalms are attributed to David, who, despite being known as a man after God's own heart, had the propensity to sin. Let us pray. Dear Father, as we prepare to study Psalm 51, please open the eyes of our heart to understand your word. Holy Spirit, give us guidance to see truth and to apply it so that we may grow closer to you. Help us to be receptive to the message, including me, the messenger. Give us a willingness to be transformed by your love. Holy Spirit, you are welcomed here. Please move in me and move in your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn with me to Psalm 51. And stand, if you are able, for the reading of God's word. The words will be on the screen also. For the director of music, a psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This psalm highlights the importance of a heart that is deeply remorseful and sorrowful for wrongdoing. God's mercy and the transformative power of confession and forgiveness that leads to a personal healing, strengthened relationships, and spiritual growth, serving as a model for believers today. Psalm 51 is a prayer of deep repentance. It reveals God's great love through several aspects. God's boundless mercy and compassion. God's desire for genuine inner transformation. God's power to restore and renew. God's acceptance of a broken heart, genuinely seeking forgiveness and reconciliation. Psalm 51 shows that God's love is not limited by sin or brokenness. God offers forgiveness and restoration to those who repent and seek his grace. You may have unconfessed sin in your life today. Big sin that the world can see, or little bitty sin that nobody else can see. But I tell you what, God can see all. Nothing's hidden from him. And you may be asking the question, what do I do with my sin? Psalm 51 is God announcing from the hills, I will make your darkest sin whiter than snow, your greatest emptiness full of my Holy Spirit. It is important that you know the backstory of what compelled King David to write this psalm. Knowing about the writer gives you an understanding that God will take your worst sin and he can turn it for his best. 2 Samuel chapter 11 verses 1 through 15 tells us that it's springtime. Okay, and at the springtime, the kings are to go off to war. David remained in Jerusalem when he should have been off to war. The Bible tells us that David got up from his bed and he walked across the rooftop, okay, of his palace. So that's way up high in Jerusalem. And he's looking down over the city. And from his roof, he saw a woman bathing. And when you choose to be in the wrong place, you're likely to get into trouble. David was to be at war. Now, here's some several examples of us today in the wrong place at the wrong time. for someone who is recovering from alcohol addiction. Going to a bar can be a significant temptation for you to drink. Or if you're someone who is tempted to overeat, going down the snack aisle in the grocery store, boy, it really gets hard to resist. Or maybe you're surfing the internet in the quietness of your home, in the secretness of your home, and there's activities that you're engaging in that would be exposing pornography. And it can be hard to resist. Or you're wrestling with God today. He wants to be first in your life, but yet you continue to put work, to put this relationship, or put this, you say what it is, but you're putting something first before God. And there are so many other examples. Sin is subtle. It's sneaky how it gets your attention. Being in the wrong place for King David caused him to sin. The woman was very beautiful. David gazed upon her. King David lusted upon Bathsheba. David sent someone to find out about her. Okay? Then he sends messengers, go get her. She came to him. He slept with her. When our eyes go where they shouldn't, then you're likely to act upon it to sin. And when you act upon sin, it will only take you to more sin. King David also sinned in that he plotted to take Bathsheba. He coveted Uriah's wife, and suddenly he had committed the sin of adultery. We learn that Bathsheba sends word to David saying, "I'm pregnant." Immediately, David plots to cover it up. David encourages Uriah, "Go home, be with your wife." He's hoping that if he is with Bathsheba, then Uriah will think he got her pregnant. Uriah felt that it would be wrong to be with his wife when his men were out on the battlefield. So Uriah says, "No, I can't go home. I must be back to war." So it's not enough that King David had violated a married woman, committed adultery, lied to a loyal friend. Now he makes the decision to murder Uriah. David writes a letter to Joab. He sends it saying, "Put Uriah out in the front where the fighting is fierce. Then withdraw him so he will be struck down and die." The next day, Uriah takes his own death note to Joab. David betrays Uriah with a sentence of death in order to cover up his sin. Bathsheba, she mourns the appropriate days for Uriah's death. Then King David calls for her, and they're married. That's the backdrop of where we start with Psalm 51. We go on, we learn 2 Samuel chapter 12 informs us that the prophet Nathan, with humility and love, confronted David privately of his sin, using a parable about a rich man who stole a poor man's lamb. The story closely resembled David's actions with Bathsheba and Uriah, which caused David to realize the gravity of his sin and that he was dirty in the eyes of God. If you don't know you're dirty, you have no idea that you need to be cleaned. Nathan's parable exposed David's abuse of power and his exploitation of those he was meant to protect, leading to David's confession. It reveals the depth of David's brokenness after his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah and his plea for cleansing and restoration. God is immediately ready to forgive us when we ask. But there is the ramification of the sin. The consequences of sin can be powerful. But I'm here to tell you, God's forgiveness is even more powerful. Psalm 51, I'm going to unpack it, starting with the fact that David is expressing deep sorrow for his sin, his desire for cleansing, and his hope for a new relationship with God. For the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. King David is asking God to blot out his sins in heaven and before God, meaning to blot them out, wipe them out, just like they never happened. God's forgiveness is not earned, but freely given out of abundance of his loving kindness, a love so vast it can cover even the most serious sins. Verse 2, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David knows his sin is twisted, perverted, falling short, missing the mark of God's loving kindness. David knows he has sinned greatly. David grieves over his sin against God. God's love goes beyond merely forgiving the outward actions of what we see. God is always seeking to transform us from the inside out. Verse 3, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. David acknowledges his sin. David realized that he had sinned not just once, but many times. Verse 4, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. David said, against you only, you only have I sinned. Not true. David sinned against Bathsheba, Uriah, others. And David even sinned against himself. But you see, David was focusing on his sin against God, because he knew the root of his actions was his rebellion against God's will, thus causing harm to others. David was in a state of unconfessed sin. He never escaped his unawareness. He could always remember his sin before God. Maybe you haven't murdered. Okay, I got that. Maybe you haven't committed adultery. I got that too, okay? Got it. But you still need the same forgiveness. Verses 5 through 6. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness, even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. David was not trying to excuse his sin. He is saying that he was born in the nature of a stubborn attitude and with a heart bent towards sin. All humans are born of a sinful nature. Now, let's look at precious little children as an example. Children, aren't they beautiful? Yes, so beautiful. And how innocent they are. We all know that. But first of all, one, they all know how to lie. You don't have to teach them. Two, they are all selfish. Don't have to teach them. Three, they all know how to act up, scream, tinter-tam, cry, unless, of course, they're with their grandparents. Verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. David knows that he could be washed clean. He knew his sin was deep, and yet he could be forgiven. David spoke with the voice of faith. In the Old Testament, hyssop was used in various purification rites, such as sprinkling blood or water to cleanse individuals, particularly after sickness or sin. While the literal use of hyssop was physical, David's plea is for spiritual cleansing. David is yearning for cleansing that only God can provide, foreshadowing the ultimate cleansing that would come through the sacrifice of Jesus, whose blood is represented by the sprinkling of the hyssop. Verse 8, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. David felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit crushing his soul. This statement is a metaphor for the emotional, spiritual distress he was experiencing. He's describing the weight of his sin to that of having his bones crushed, symbolizing profound suffering. It is important to take responsibility and to be honest. Stop making excuses so even the bones that God has broken will praise the Lord. When we experience God's forgiveness, we experience relief from the burden of guilt and sorrow. Thus is the joy and gladness that comes from God. God's love has the ability to mend brokenness and restore us to fellowship with Him, even after serious sin has damaged our relationship. Bring your sin to the Lord. Verse 9, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. David is pleading with God not to look upon his sins with condemnation. This verse uses the metaphor of erasing a record, of wiping the slate absolutely clean to express the desire for complete forgiveness. He is asking God to remove all traces of his wrongdoing. God's love embraces us in our vulnerability and brokenness, valuing genuine remorse and repentance. This psalm is a plea for forgiveness and restoration, written at what was perhaps the lowest point of David's life. Psalm 51, it shows us that God's love is not limited by sin or brokenness. God's love offers forgiveness and restoration to all who will repent and seek his grace. Now, I'm living proof of that, of God's grace and God's forgiveness. I mean, I can relate to King David and his plea for mercy in Psalm 51. I relate. And see, there was a time in my life when I was walking in full rebellion to God. I was absolutely miserable, and to the point that I didn't even want to live anymore. I mean, I was depressed. I was hopeless. In my mind, my sins were unforgivable, and I could never stop sinning. Lies that I had convinced myself of as I continued to walk in rebellion to God. I was destined to keep on sinning. I had tried to change over and over and over, only to fall backwards. It seemed that I just couldn't change. And I remember the day when I publicly confessed and repented of my sin, acknowledging my need for God's mercy. I remember going forward to pray at that altar. I mean, I like to say if there was any way that you could see how that altar looked that day, of what God cleaned out of my heart, cleaned out of my head, cleaned out of my mouth, cleaned out of me, that altar would have been full. Full of my sin. My past behaviors had a negative impact on my life, and my choices had affected others around me, including my relationships with them. On May 23rd, 1993, some years ago, yes, I prayed for God's mercy and forgiveness, and instantly God restored my joy. And instantly his transforming power began to change my heart, my mind, my soul. I mean, that day, God gave me victory over my past that's still in my past. And I'm thanking Jesus. He allowed me to experience freedom from my bad habits that had lived with me from the age of 13 years old up to 31 years old. If you'd like more details of my salvation story, I'd love to have lunch, love to have dinner. I mean, it's real. It's the real McCoy. And, you know, I'm not proud of that story. I'm not proud of my past. But see, I better never forget who I was before Jesus. Because, see, I live with a grateful heart with every breath I take. I know, and I want y'all to know, some of y'all don't know me personally, but I'll tell you what. If God could rescue me from the pits of hell, then if there's somebody that you're praying for, don't give up. Because God can reach anybody, but we must be faithful in our prayers, and we need to confess our own stuff also to the Lord. The Bible defines sin as a transgression or violation of God's law. Sin is stepping outside the boundaries defined by God's word and missing the mark. And there's two types of sin: sins of commission and sins of omission. Now, sins of commission, let me explain, are actively doing something God forbids, such as lying, stealing, gossip, pride, okay? Sins of commission include any action, thought, or attitude that is contrary to God's law. The book of James says that the sin of omission happens when someone knows what they should do, but they don't do it. There is a lack of action, a neglect of duty, or a failure to fulfill your responsibility. Today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us. Not just one person in here, not just y'all and not me. I mean, the Holy Spirit is speaking to our heart, and he's talking to us about different things. Okay, maybe it's that little bitty small hidden sin that nobody else knows anything else about except God and you. Or maybe it's that big public sin that everybody knows about. Okay, or maybe it's that he's telling you he wants you to do something and you've been in the mode of laziness and lack of, you know, obeying, and not to obey is disobedience. Let me just say that. So, you know, he's saying something just as the prophet Nathan spoke to King David. I happen to be the messenger today. Now, let me tell you something. There is no sin hidden from God's eyes. So the difference between a thriving Christian and an apathetic Christian is true repentance and true obedience. So if you mess up, if you say something that you shouldn't say, or if you do something that you shouldn't do, be fast to repent. Be fast to ask for forgiveness. And I promise you, your Father will be fast to forgive. Psalm 51 reminds us of God's grace. It's sufficient to cover even the most grievous sins. And by faith in Jesus, you can be confident that God will forgive and restore you. It doesn't matter what you've done. And it never will matter what you could do. When we bring it to Jesus, God's love and forgiveness is available to all. Psalm 51 points us to Jesus. One, Jesus is the one that cleanses his church, you and me. Two, Jesus is the one that was never born with sin. Three, through Christ's sacrifice, the forgiveness and restoration sought in Psalm 51 are made possible. Today, we're going to participate in Holy Communion. Now, we're going to wait to take the elements at the very end of, like, I'll explain what they are, but we will move in that direction in just a moment. But I'm hoping that you've heard today that God's grace is freely given through Christ, despite our sinfulness. And in the Church of the Nazarene, you do not have to be a member of the church to take communion. You might be someone that just showed up today. Maybe that's your second visit. Maybe it's your 10th visit. Okay, but you're not a member, but you know, you come to church today. Everyone in this building is invited to take communion with the understanding that this is an invitation for you to examine your heart before the Lord. Are you in a right relationship with Christ? Are you coming to the Lord with a broken heart? If so, then get up. You know, come now with true humility. We have communion tables in the back. We have communion in the front. But it's about coming with true humility and with faith as we partake of this holy sacrament. And then perhaps today you're that person that just wandered in, or you're here, you know, and you're wondering, you know, can I come? Can I take communion? I mean, I got sin in my life and I haven't worked it out. Well, I asked the question earlier, do you know what to do with your sin? Where can you take it? Well, you're in the right place. You just heard the message of God's forgiveness of King David, because King David chose to ask God for his forgiveness. So God knows your heart. If you desire to repent of your sin and to ask Jesus to come live in your heart, to transform you, that's going on right now. Just get up and come. So wherever you are, you're God's kids, and you allow God to examine your heart. You examine your heart and come now and take the bread and the juice, and you want to take it back to your seat, and we'll go forward. Today we are partaking in the holy sacrament of the Lord's Supper for the body of Christ. So this is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is broken for you. May it preserve you blameless until everlasting life. Take it and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve you blameless until everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Let us pray. Dear God, I thank you for Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, in which we have received the body and the blood of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. We ask today that you would please strengthen our faith. We ask you that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, empowering us to be faithful in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Guide us each day. Help us, Father God, with our words, with our actions, and with our thoughts, that we would bring glory to you always. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.